we're going to get that series together and put it out there for you guys. But we're going back to Ephesians. And I just love the book of Ephesians. You know, a lot of scholars and theologians say if you talk to a young person and ask where should they start, they'll say start with the book of John. And I think that's a wonderful place to start. But the book of Ephesians is also an equally wonderful place to start. I love the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go back to Ephesians. We stopped at chapter 2. We're going to pick it up at chapter 3. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the book of the Bible. And if you can stand out of reverence for God's word, we're going to read Ephesians 1 through 14, chapter 3, 1 through 14. And some folks say this may be one of the greatest chapters of the whole book of the Bible.
Amen.
And I couldn't argue with them. It is great. It is great. It is great. Chapter 3 of Ephesians 1 through 14. For this cause,
yes.
I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your riches, for your unsearchable riches. Thank you, Father God, that after we hear your word and your love that you have for the lost souls, the Gentiles, that we also, like Paul, should bow our knees unto the Father. Father God, we thank you this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father God, for the power of God in this place. And we ask right now, Father God, that you would just work it. Work it. Work it this morning.
Come on.
In someone's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you just look at what Paul is writing here, and I feel good about it because it reminds me of myself. I know y'all get on me on Wednesday nights, and y'all say he just go back and go back and go back. And here's Paul.
Amen.
Here's Paul. He's talked about chapters 1 and 2. Doctrinal, who you are, where you came from, and all the blessings that you have.
Amen.
He's talked about all that. He says in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we get down and look at verse number 5. I can start anywhere.
All right.
Having predestined us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ to himself. Look at verse 6. He's accepted us in the beloved. He's putting us on equal standing as the Jews.
Yeah.
God's chosen people.
Yeah.
See, in Jewish thought, there was only two races of people.
Oh,
the Jews and the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Gentiles were considered dogs.
Right.
And Paul saying, we've been accepted in the beloved.
Yeah.
In whom we have, here's that big old word, redemption.
Yes,
through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. I mean, how many need some sins forgiven? I say it all the time. You will not take your sins and your unforgiven heart to heaven. You don't die with unforgiven sin. Don't die with unforgiveness in your heart.
That's right.
Amen.
Then he keeps moving. I'm just going to move all the way to verse number 12. Then he says, we should be to the praise of his glory. How about that? How's your life? When God looks at your life, when the friends look at your life, does it resemble the praise of his glory?
Amen.
Look at verse 13. He said, after all that in whom you trusted, after you heard the word of God, after you understood what God has done for you, you trusted in him. How can they hear without a preacher? Oh, the pulpits are full of motivational preachers.
Amen.
Trying to make you feel good. Before you can feel good, sometimes they got to cut you open. Before you can feel good, sometimes they got to, before your teeth can feel good, sometimes they got to shoot that Novocaine in your gum. Anybody here think that feel good? Sometimes before you can feel good, you got to be put under. He said, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, can't believe what you don't know. Then he said, you were sealed. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed by the Holy Ghost. And guess what? The Holy Spirit ain't going to hell. See, the Holy Spirit ain't going to hell. So if you seal with the Holy Ghost, guess what? You're going to heaven. Oh, Paul. Paul moves on to chapter 2 and he talks about how he had quickened you when you were dead in your sins. You know, and some of y'all been holy so long. Forgot how ugly and nasty you was. How God had to dig you up and under the dirt. Paul said he quickened you when you were dead. Dead in trespass, ever he buried. You were buried in sin. Some of us were just buried in sin. God had to dig you up. Dust you off. Stank like Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Then he says in this wonderful, wonderful passage that just brought havoc to the Roman Catholicism. Well, Martin Luther just couldn't. He just messed him up. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God.
Oh,
some of y'all just love having gifts, getting gifts. They say, especially his wife. Listen. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Okay, you up under the dirt. You up under the dirt, up under the ground. You caught up in the muck and the mire. You are in no position to save yourself. Okay. You know, we hear folks all the time. Okay, I'm going to get myself together. No, you're not. You ain't getting nothing together on your own strength. Only thing your own strength going to do is raise up your arm to drink another beer. That's all that you're going to do on your own is get into more mess.
Yes, sir.
Paul says, no, you saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of work. You can work yourself. You ain't going to work yourself into heaven.
Uh-huh. No.
Then he gets to verse number 3. Chapter number 3 now. Now, Chester said, this get gooder. Then he gets to chapter 3. Now he's getting ready to start a prayer because he's gotten through the doctrinal part of the lesson.
Yeah.
Of the book. Now he's getting ready to pray for all that God has done.
Yeah.
And then he says, for this cause. And then he just stops. He just stops. Look at verse number 14. He says the same thing. Now 14 is where he continues his prayer. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this verse, for this cause, he just stops. Paul just stops and takes a moment to reflect. He said, for this cause. What cause, Paul? For what cause, Paul? Listen, folks. There's a cost. Paul said, for this reason. You know, there's a cost involved in salvation. Okay? This is not something that you're going to get for free. There is a cost. And some of us in here that have been saved, that are saved, know there is a cost. It's always been a cost. You know, when we turn back real quick to John, in chapter 9 of John, we see the man that was born blind. There was a cost always associated with walking with the Lord. And see, this is not preached. Folks don't want to believe you. You get saved, everything is good. You're good to go. Like your car, like you go and pick up your car after your brakes is bad. And they say, well, your car is good to go. No, Christianity ain't like that. Amen. There's a cause. Remember, Jesus saved and healed a man born blind. Look at verse number 18. And it says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind. I'm in John 9:18. And received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. They weren't taking this man's word. They said, we need more evidence to confirm this miracle.
Yes, sir.
And that's a sad thing when the fallen world is looking for evidence of a miracle. And they said unto them, saying, is this your son?
Look at this.
Who you say was born blind. How then do he now see? And his parents answered, said unto them, we know that this is our son.
Amen.
And that he was born blind.
We know that.
We vouch for that. But by what means he now seeth? Oh, they knew.
Uh-huh.
They knew. They were compromising. They were scared. See, some of us in here say that, and you know, if it had not been for the Lord, you'd still be messed.
Amen.
Some of y'all praying right now for your loved ones, husbands and wife, that they would get saved. And you know they ain't going to save themselves. It's only going to be an act of God.
Amen.
It's going to take an act of God to save anyone. But his parents answered, said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words his parents spake because they feared the Jews. I just want to say this. Christianity ain't for cowards.
That's right.
Okay. This ain't for cowards.
Amen.
See, cowards join gangs.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
See, it don't take a whole lot to walk around with your pants hanging down.
Nah.
It don't take courage to do that. You know, it don't take a whole lot to, you know, to sell dope and act a fool. It don't take a whole lot to do that. It takes courage to live godly in a fallen world.
Yes, sir.
He said, these words his parents spake because they feared the Jews.
Amen.
For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of synagogue. See, when you get saved, you ain't got to worry about stopping a whole lot of things.
No.
Some folks just don't put you out.
Right.
See, we worry about, if I get saved, Pastor, do I got to stop this? No, you ain't got to stop nothing. You just do what you want to do if you say, because, see, you're going to get put out of a lot of folks' places. Phone ain't going to ring that much. You may not be the homecoming queen.
Amen.
So you want to be the homecoming queen, as a woman of God in a fallen world or the homecoming king. Listen, leave the word of God alone and do your things. Because you won't get the devil's vote. Look at Lazarus. Stay there. Move to verse chapter 12. I love the story of Lazarus. I love it. Because Lazarus already died.
He already died.
Amen. He already died. And God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
Now that's us. That's us. Yes. You want to find out if a person is truly a man or woman of God?
Come on.
After you've been raised from the dead, there's going to be one place you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
In the house of God.
Yes.
You're going to want to be next to Jesus.
Right now. Thank you.
Okay? Now,
preacher.
I'm in John chapter 12. And they had a party.
Yeah.
And said much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. Lazarus. Verse 9, John 12. And they came not for Jesus' sake only. See, an adulterous sinful world always seeking after a sign.
Yeah.
So they wanted to see Lazarus.
Yeah.
See, Lazarus was raised from the dead today. That's why I don't believe that people being raised from the dead, because they would be on the Oprah Winfrey show. They would be on Ellen. They would be on the Letterman show at night. And here we have tonight, Brother John, raised from the dead. He come out there, yeah, I'm dead. I was dead. Look at me now. Yeah. Y'all be careful when somebody says folks get raised from the dead.
Amen.
Okay. Get over to blacks and talk to them. Listen. They came to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. How about that?
Yeah.
If you've been born again, you know you've been raised from the dead.
Amen.
Folks ought to look at you and say, man, I remember that brother.
That's it.
Was dead.
That's it.
He was nasty. He was vile.
He was bad, man.
Beat his kids. Wouldn't find no job. Drank every day. Cuss you out the minute. But then something happened. Something happened. God raised him from the dead. Look at, but the chief priest in verse 10 consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. See, folks, when you come to the Lord, folks want to put you to death. They want to shut you down. They want to shut off your life.
Amen.
Cut it off. Why? Why? Because this is how you ought to be as a man or woman of God that's been raised from the dead. Because that by reason of put your name there. And then look around at the empty seats. Put your name there, for by this reason, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. People ought to believe on Jesus, not so much by what you say, but how you live. It is a cost to serve Jesus. I think how Lazarus must have laughed at him. You know, y'all, you be texting LOL. I believe Lazarus probably started that. Look at these fools. I've been dead. Now they're trying to kill me again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen, go back to Ephesians. Paul had to just stop for a minute. He stopped for a minute. He said, for this cause. What cause, Paul? To the cause of you Gentiles.
Amen.
Now, Paul starts to reflect a little bit. And y'all know I like reflecting. So Paul says, I, Paul. Now stop right there because there's a comma there. So that means you got to stop there. There's a comma there. You got to stop there. He says, I, Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul is in his Greek name. His Gentile name was Paul. His Jewish name was Saul. So Paul said, I've made a 180 degree turn. And I just thought about something, Dave. Big Dave. I didn't give you a title for this message. Jesus dropped the charges. How about that?
Sydney and I listened to that. We listened to that on one of those old school songs. Claire probably know it. Jesus dropped the charges. Now, if you're saved in here, guess what? Jesus dropped the charges. See? Some of y'all been stood before the judge, and the judge say, go on up out of here. Jesus dropped the charges. Now here, Paul, that's his Hebrew name, his Gentile name. He said, my name Paul because of what I've done. My name is Paul because they didn't put me out of the synagogue. They want to kill me. Why? Because I have been faithful to God on behalf of you Gentiles. The moment Paul got saved, he was fighting all the way through. Listen, amen. You get saved, the fight just starts.
It's on.
Amen. It's on. It's on. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Let me turn here to 1 Timothy. Paul. Jesus dropped the charges. Look at Paul in 1 Timothy. Familiar verse. And verse number 12 of 1 Timothy 1. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me.
Yes.
For he counted me faithful. Putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer. A blasphemer is one who just hates the things of God, hates the word of God, hates the people of God, hates God, period. A blasphemer. One who blasphemes the Lord. You know, we got some folks that call themselves Christians and are blasphemers. See, when you call yourself a Christian and you live like a heathen, you are a blasphemer of the highest order.
Yes, sir. Amen.
See, when you name the name of the Lord to a lost world and then live like you lost, they say, listen, you're a blasphemer.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Who was before a blasphemer? Look at Paul. He didn't stop there. I was a persecutor.
Yes.
A persecutor. Paul brought up false charges against folks and charged them for serving the God that he now served. He was a persecutor. He hunted folks down. We're going to get to Acts chapter 9. And then he said, not only that, I was injurious. I put the handcuffs on real tight. Dragged folks out of their homes. I was a bad man. She said, Michael Jackson sang a song about me. Some of y'all liked it too, because y'all went, I'm bad. I'm bad. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. Michael Jackson. But Paul says, but I obtained mercy. Okay? He didn't say I earned it. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Somebody in here ought to say, hallelujah. Because I obtained mercy. Some of us have done enough right now to be behind bars. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, we serve a God that's rich in mercy. Some of us sitting in here right now and so glad that Jesus dropped the charges. Jesus paid it all. Listen, he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in an unbelief. Then Paul going back to Ephesians, he just reflecting here. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. Not because he was out on the corner selling crack. Not because he was robbing folks. Not because he was a bad person. He wasn't no pedophile or child molester. He wasn't none of that.
No, he wasn't none.
He was a prisoner
because
of the Lord.
Yeah.
He was a prisoner of the Lord. Paul says in Philippians, Paul said, I have not apprehended anything, but God apprehended me. Many of us in our former lives remember the time with them police cars behind us with the lights flashing. Y'all holy folks up in here. Some of y'all remember back in the day when you see the police, you start ducking. Know you got something under the seat. Know you ready to window that all the marijuana fly out on the police. Know that you ain't paid your license, they ain't suspended. You ain't got your tag on. Got somebody in the car that ain't got no business being in there with you.
Mercy.
Look at Acts chapter 9. Let's just take it through here. I just have to do this. Paul said preach the word. He told Timothy that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said preach the word. I don't have a whole lot to say on my own. You know, I'm not a real conversationalist, you know. But I love reading this Bible. Here's Paul in Acts. I'm not going to comment on all of it. We're going to read a good chunk of it. Turn to Acts chapter 9 and stay with me, folks. Right. Young folks, stay with me. Stay with me. Here's Paul. Paul said, I was a bad man. I just want to reflect sometimes. Sometimes it's good to look back. We ought not always look back, but you all look in the rearview mirror once in a while. See what's behind you. Okay? See what God has brought you through. You know, we don't look in the rearview mirror enough. Paul's giving this commentary. Goodness. He says, here's Paul. Here's Saul. See, Saul got a new name. He says, in Saul, verse number 1, yet, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. How about you, Paul?
Yeah.
You wanted to kill them all. You hated them. You hated their God. You hated Jesus Christ. You hated everything. And he says, and went into the high priest. He didn't go to this regular priest. He went to the high priest. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any man, woman, or child, whether they were men or women, he might bring them how?
Bound
unto Jerusalem. Acts 20 and Acts 24, Paul talked about I go bound.
Yeah.
Now he bringing them bound to Jerusalem. He was on a doggone manhunt.
Yes.
Paul was on a manhunt. Look what it says. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. How about that? You had this Damascus Road experience. See, some of us ought to have this ought to remind you of your conversion experience.
Yes.
If you are saved in here, if you have truly been saved,
come on.
Now I'm not talking about being saved.
Come on,
I'm talking about somebody who's truly been saved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on,
hell's gonna be full of folks that say they saved.
Amen.
Bibles, the floor of hell will be littered with Bibles. And cemetery degrees and all that stuff. Watch this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. That's the place where he's going to do his damage. How about that? Some of us got called right on the verge of destruction.
Thank you, Jesus.
And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Oh, when the light from heaven, we talked about last week with the shepherds now. See, when the light from heaven shine on you, it's going to reveal some things. See, somebody needs the light to shine on them.
Yeah.
See, some of you young folks need the light to shine on you. It ain't no use you getting locked up and going to jail, then the light shine on you in jail or in prison when they didn't give you 99 years of life. See, you know, y'all young people from the suburbs. Let me tell you something. The suburbians, some of you young folks in here got your nice stuff on and got your gear, you got your Texas cell phones, you got your tablets, you got all the nice stuff. You don't do real well in prison. Okay, so when you tell one of them folks in prison from the concrete jungle that you from, well, I'm from the suburbs. See, then you're going to need Big Bubba. See, you're going to need Big Bubba to protect you because you from the suburbs. And Big Bubba don't work for money. I'll leave it there. Big Bubba. Big Bubba don't work for money. Okay? But see, you need protection because see, in the suburbs, they don't teach you how to wrestle and fight and steal and cut folks and stab and shoot. They, you know. And Big Bubba don't work for money neither.
Come on, man.
See, son, see some of you young girls, that's funny, Big Bubba, Big Bertha, waiting for you too, and she don't work for money neither. See, folks coming out of prison messed up. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? Why me? Why me? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And a voice came. And he said unto me, Who art thou, Lord? See, Paul had the right answer.
Yeah.
He got to be Lord, folks. He's got to be Lord. He's got to be Lord. And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Amen.
And people say, what's he mean there? When an ox was driven by what they called a goat. And when the ox would stop, they would stick him. Mm-hmm. And instead of the ox moving, he would kick back against the person. And all that caused the person to do was to stick him more. Mm-hmm. And see, when you kick against the Lord, when you kick against the Lord, if he really got you on his radar, He's gonna stick you harder. He's gonna get your attention. And then Paul, and then trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what must thou do. This is Paul. He just reflecting. He just going back. He's going back, and Paul arose and from the earth. Here's a picture of us now, folks. Pay attention. Paul arose from the earth, from the dirt. God put him in the dirt. See, sometimes God has to knock you off of your high horse to get your attention. And Paul was in the dirt, and when he opened his eyes, he saw no man. That's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
But they that led him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there, 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. How about that? How about Ananias? And God spoke to Ananias. And we in a world, we God spoke to me in a vision, God spoke to me in a dream. You better pay attention then.
All right.
And if he's speaking to you in a dream, I mean, you better do what he say. Here go Ananias. Here I am, Lord. Just like Samuel Clare was talking about. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to a street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed. See, when God knocked you in the dirt. When God put you down on your back. Your prayer life get good when you're in adversity. See, when you're in bonds, when you're in trouble, when your prayer life get good when you're laying on your sick bed. Or you got a loved one on their sick bed. Or you done something you shouldn't have done. And you're asking God to cover that thing up. Your prayer life get good. Paul was praying. And he seen a man, he had seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him. And Ananias answered, Lord, verse 13, this is a bad dude. We'd have heard a whole lot about him. We'd have heard a whole lot about Paul. And this Paul just reflects it. Just reflected of what he went through to save the Gentiles, to deliver the message to the Gentiles. Paul had to be lowered. He had to be knocked down into the ground. And you know what? If you're here today, you don't need to go through all that. You don't need to go through all that. Young girls in here, you don't need to go through all that. There's some stuff out there. There's some stuff out there. These young boys is carrying some stuff. Penicillin ain't got nothing for it. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through it. Paul went through it for us. Paul says, but it's called, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. Prisoner of Jesus Christ. Again, he was a prisoner for the Gentiles. And this is what he says. And if you have heard of the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God, which is given unto me. Now, we can get into a whole lot of dispensational thought. Well, I don't have time for it. There's seven basic dispensations that they talk about, but the one that the people were under at this time was the dispensation of the law. Okay? They were under the law, and the Jewish people wanted to keep them under the law. See, some of y'all are under the law, and Satan wants to keep you under the law. You don't even understand the goodness of God. You don't understand that this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. You don't understand it because you believe what you're doing is bringing you joy. And it's leading to your destruction. And Satan wanted to keep you bound. And the Jewish people wanted to keep people under the law, but they was making money, sacrificing animals and birds and goats and everything they could. But Paul came preaching the gospel to the Gentiles that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave and ushered in the dispensation of grace. We are now under grace. Paul, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And when he came, the dispensation of the law was over. And we're under grace. And he's coming back again.
Yes.
For one last dispensation.
Yes, sir.
The 1,000 year millennium. And he's coming back.
Yes, sir.
He's coming back. But Paul said, I came to give you grace. How that by verse 3, that by revelation.
Yes.
He was made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote in a few words again, he opened up the mysteries. And that's, you find that in Ephesians 1, chapter 3 through 14. He said, whereby you read that you may understand, my knowledge of in the mystery. Paul had knowledge of this mystery that God had given him.
Yeah.
God had given him. And everybody that God saves, he gives something.
Yeah.
He gives something. And that's why I'm almost excited to see some of you young men in here, young women that want to do something for God. You won't find out what God has done for you till you step out. Peter would never know he could walk on water until he got out of the boat. Until he got out of the boat. Listen. Somebody said, don't look at your wife. Listen, look at verse 7. We move down here to another thing because Paul said something that was just profound in verse 7. He said, wherefore I was made a minister.
Made a minister.
Ministers are made.
Come on.
Ministers are made. Ministers aren't born.
Come on.
You know, we got one big time pastor of the largest church in America. He said he you know, his father was a pastor and his father died and he just took over. That's not good. It's good if he was made. It's not good if he was self-appointed.
Amen.
He said, wherefore I was made a minister. How? According to the gift of grace. Of the gift of the grace of God. How? That worked in me by the effectual working of his power. See, this is how Paul was verified that who he was. And Paul dealt with some things. And when we look at Paul's life, Paul now is given his credentials. It's a shame that he had to. But he had to give his credentials. He had to give his testimony. Paul said, I had all the evidence of a prophet of God, of an apostle. Paul was able to heal. He healed a demon-possessed girl. You turn to Acts 16, you find a girl possessed with a male demon. He healed a lame man that was blind from birth. He healed a young boy who fell out of the second story window. He survived being stoned. Paul was left for dead. Who could forget his trip to the island of Malta? How could you forget his trip to the island of Malta? He not only healed Publius, he healed the whole island. He healed the whole island. He healed all those that was in the Malta Children's Hospital. He healed all those that was in the Malta Cancer Treatment Center. He healed all those that was in the Malta State Mental Institution. Paul healed the whole island of Malta. And you know what? They're not doing that on South Avenue. Or Market Street. Paul had all the signs of an apostle. Then he says in verse 8, and I'm going to move on through. He said, unto me, who am the least. Who unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given? Paul never got the big head. He never got haughty. He understood his position. But then no other apostle did God use to write 2/3 of the Bible, of the New Testament. But look what he says here. Great question. He said, I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Preach the word of God. Preach the word of God. 2 Timothy talked about, told Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Just go through the Bible. If they don't like it, then too bad. Just keep preaching it. Why? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The reason we are here is because we want to hear about this mystery. We want biblical truth opened up to us so we can make application and apply them to our lives. To our lives. Paul was challenged, and I'm going to close with this last scripture. Paul was challenged. Paul was challenged, and you will be challenged. I don't want anyone in here to think that you can go home and go around here telling folks you're a Christian and really not understanding what you're into. Paul was challenged in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to close with this, but this is it's not lengthy, but it's important. You will be challenged too. Paul was talking about these apostles, super apostles that was confronting him. And Paul had to refute them. And in verse 24, all right, I have to go back to 21. He says in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach. They were trying to deflame Paul. He said, as though we had been weak, howbeit, whensoever any is bold. He said, I speak foolishly. Paul said, this is almost foolishness that I have to even defend myself against you guys. But I have to do it because folks' faith is in the balance. He said, are they Hebrews? Talking about these super apostles. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I speak as a fool. What minister of Christ would challenge the great Apostle Paul? It's, I am more. I am more. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He says, I am more and more labor, verse 23, more abundant, and stripes above measure. Paul's talking about the pain and suffering it takes to be a child of God, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. Some of you haven't experienced none of this. You have to wonder if your light is really on. Are you really doing anything for the Lord? Because if you do, all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, say one. Paul was scourged, he was beaten, he was whipped. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That don't mean he got drunk. Suffer shipwreck. 3 times suffer shipwreck. Night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. Perils of robbers. Perils by my own countrymen. Perils by the heathen. Perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In fasting often. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul was God's man.
Yes.
And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, and that's really where I'm supposed to stay, Paul reflected on the cost of serving God. The cost of serving God. I would be remiss of my call if I said, well, you can just come to the Lord and live any kind of way and just go on doing your own thing and, you know, and just come to church and tithe and give. That's just a fraction of what it really means to serve as God. Servant. Paul says, I was a prisoner of the Lord. One more thing about a prisoner. Now, I thought this was interesting. Back then they would chain a prisoner to you. And that prisoner was with you all day. Now, I guess my question would be this to anyone in here that would call themselves saved. If God was to chain an unsaved person to you, and that person was with you 24/7, what impact would your life have on that person? I mean, if that person heard all your conversations, watched everything you watched, ate and drank everything you did, went everywhere you went, watched your marriage.
Yes, sir.
Watch your faithfulness to God and your family and the church and the community. Watch how you responded to adversity.
Amen.
What effect would your life have on that person? Saved person. Saved person. What effect would your life have on a lost person if that person was to watch you every minute of the day? Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine that. Close with that, Pastor. Preach the word. You young folks, when you hear the word, listen for the 3 R's. See, the 3 R's have to be preached. The ruin, the redemption, and regeneration. I hope you heard it today.
Yes, sir.
We were in a ruined state. God redeemed us. And if you saved, you were regenerated and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know, oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. This is a Baptist church. We don't like talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, when you're filled with booze. When you're filled with booze, some of y'all that been delivered from drinking, when you're filled with booze, They say you're under influence. See, booze affects the brain. The Holy Ghost affects the brain. Booze affects your movement. The Holy Ghost affects your movement. Affects your movement. See, a drunken person doesn't walk like he normally walks. And a person filled with the Holy Ghost don't walk like they used to walk. See, booze affects the way you talk. See, you get drunk, you think you can sing. Some folks think they can fight. You see, a lot of folks that drink don't have front teeth. Because they think they can fight. See, booze affects your language. It affects the way you talk. It affects your speech. It affects your coordination. The feeling of alcohol leads you to be controlled by alcohol. The feeling of the Holy Spirit leads you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I guess the question would be, who's controlling you? Who's controlling you? Spend a day with a lost person and ask them after the day is over. I guess that wouldn't be fair if you asked them. But if a lost person spent a day with you, what could they learn about Jesus? What would they learn about Jesus?